You're listening to Intentional Optimists, the podcast for unconventional leaders, where you'll find inspiration, learn to discover and develop your own strengths, and hear from inspiring women just like you who are making a difference in their community. Who knows, you just might find yourself stepping up as the next unconventional leader right where you are. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson, the original Intentional Optimist. Welcome to episode 15. I have a story for you. I walked into the restaurant and headed over to the private meeting room, eager to meet new, like-minded ladies for lunch. Back when we could eat lunch together, I enjoyed this monthly networking meeting exclusively for women in my area who wanted to network, get encouragement, and grow. The large square of tables could be filled with realtors, insurance agents, artists, doctors, shop owners, and any variety of entrepreneurs. And on that day, down at the corner to my right, sat a woman in jeans, a sweatshirt, and a baseball cap. Now, when it was her turn to share, she said, "Hey, you guys, I am so excited and nervous. I've been asked to speak at the UN, and I'm working with a TED Talk coach to get me ready." This was my introduction to Gwen Cassidy. "Wait, what?" I thought. "Surely I misunderstood. She's getting ready to speak to the UN? Like the one in New York City?" Yep, one and the same. She was headed up there to talk to them about international homelessness. Suddenly, y'all, I felt very small. I know, we don't compare ourselves to others, right? We especially don't compare the middle or end of their journey to our beginning. But let's be honest here, we all do it. And I'll be gobsmacked if I'm ever found speaking in front of the UN as an expert on anything. Not that I mind being gobsmacked, but you get my drift here. But that wasn't all. The reason she had been asked to speak is because of a film she had just finished producing on her own journey through homelessness. And she had just opened a shop in town featuring work by local refugee artisans, empowering them to settle into a new home, town, and country. And come to find out, that's just the beginning. I think what made all of this so amazing is that Gwen shows up as a humble, down-to-earth, yet worldly wise chick. And I found out later that life has thrown her some real monster curveballs. She has a passion to work with the homeless because she was homeless. She works with refugees because she is a sexual abuse survivor and she wants to help stop human trafficking. She is thriving and empowering those she works with to thrive as well. Now, sitting down to talk with her meant that we couldn't possibly cover everything. There's just so much. But I was so excited to have the opportunity to get to know her a little better. Her story is so big and covers such a broad spectrum, I am positive there will be at least one part of her story that will inspire you. But let's actually let Gwen do some of the talking for herself. Hi, Gwen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrea. I'm so excited.
I think I told you when we first started chatting about this that you were on my wish list of having people on the show. So I'm excited to hear your story, and I know that it's going to benefit everybody else. I know that it's going to be extremely inspirational, and we've got some good stuff to share. But really quick, before we get into that, I did want to tell you that my husband, when I told him, "Oh, this lady, this local lady, she's interested in the podcast," and oh my gosh, she said, "Yeah, she'd be on the show." And he started looking you up and he's like, "Holy cow, this is amazing." So I've already given them a brief introduction, but why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your background, maybe what you're doing that we definitely consider unconventional, who you serve and your why, that kind of thing. I'm going to let you do some talking.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a real joy to be here and to get to know you better as well. But in a nutshell, I am a community advocate. I advocate for the homeless, and most recently was selected and humbly selected to speak at the United Nations at the very first intergovernmental dialogue that they had on homelessness. So they selected three of us from around the world to speak about our lived experience. And it was really hilarious, Andrea. They considered me a specialist in a lived experience and someone who had expertise in homelessness. And when they introduced me as being an expert in homelessness, I said to them, you know, I really don't consider myself an expert. Like, A, I've never been chronically homeless. You know, B, I've never been one who has lived on the streets. And therefore, I don't consider myself, and it took me a long time to even come to terms with the fact that I was a homeless person. I started a documentary called If It Could Happen to Me, It Could Happen to You, From Homeless to Harvard. And when I was working with one of our associate producers, she was looking at over my information. She said, well, Gwen, you're doing this because you were homeless. And I said, no, I've never been homeless. And she said, we're utilizing the HUD technical definition and you fit the definition of being homeless. And I literally, it took me a while to come to terms with the fact that I was indeed a homeless person because of the shame involved. You know, you can't really put yourself in that position until you're there and living it. But essentially, I've been homeless four times, starting at the age of 14. And what really is the primary stem of my work in advocating for the homeless, it has nothing to do with the fact that I've been homeless four times. It has everything to do with what I experienced innocent homeless people going through starting in 1979 and what I experienced and witnessed at that time. Wheeler Mission in Indianapolis is one of the largest homeless shelters in America. So there was a lot of activity, I believe, engaged with the innocent homeless people from Wheeler Mission. That's just my hypothesis. I don't know where else they could have gotten the homeless people at that time. And really in the community of Charlottesville, everybody was so welcoming. The Haven was where I used to shower. And essentially what I did is I was forced into homelessness at the age of 14 and again at the age of 34. I am truly, Andrea, the only person on the planet who has gone from living and working on the royal compound of Saudi Arabia. I was the governess for late King Abdullah and late Crown Prince Naif of Saudi Arabia. I nannied for their grandchildren when late King Abdullah's youngest and favorite son, Mohammed, was a student at American University in a master's program. And I was the lead governess overseeing a staff of approximately 20. So I don't know where I got off on this tangent or how I, but essentially what else I do now, and I just started this new program. So I'm wearing, you also, viewers can't see this, but I'm wearing what are called our Love Locks, and we microfinance an artisans consortium in Zimbabwe. And we take almost 100% of the revenue from these necklaces goes to support international and local and domestic sex trafficking causes.
To benefit the stopping of sex trafficking. And, you know, these are things that in polite society, we don't want to talk about this stuff.
Yes.
But we have to. And we need people who are in polite society to talk about them. And go ahead.
And I am trying to make a difference just through my activities and my day-to-day choices and decisions. My filmmaking is something that is really one of my primary passions. Visionforward.media. We humbly, again, we had our first premiere of If It Could Happen to You, It Could Happen, If It Could Happen to Me, It Could Happen to You, From Homeless to Harvard. We had our first premiere at the United Nations on the day before Valentine's Day. And that was exciting. Our filming has taken a halt simply due to COVID, but we plan to resume it again next year. I actually am in the process. My application is due in 2 weeks to become a Fulbright scholar. So that's something that's really meaningful to me if I get it. It's a less than 1.9% chance. So I'm not holding my breath, but I'm still keeping my hopes up. And I'll do it on child sex trafficking in Nepal.
But what was the point that you realized, hey, I've achieved a lot of things, but I want to use what I've achieved for these good purposes, because you have not chosen a road that is easy to walk, right? I mean, this is not, I don't think you would even say to us, this is super easy to walk, right? Homelessness, sex trafficking, none of that is easy. So at what point did you realize, hey, I really need to do this. This is the direction I need to go. And this is how I need to lead.
I'm probably going to cry, but I will say that it's a combination of so many elements. If I could pinpoint one situation, I tried out for the TEDx Charlottesville last year in the fall. And that's when I recognized, you know, I need to make a difference. I need to be public with my story. And at the end of it, and just telling your story like a TEDx scenario. And a young lady, her name is Grace, and she approached me afterwards, and she was the first person to come up to me. And she and I have since become friends. And she explained to me, she said, you know what, you're the very first person I'm ever telling this to. And that I was the first person she had the courage to tell.
So this was a turning point for you. This was it. That's a linchpin, right? I mean,
it really was, because I always said in all of my writing, you know, in all of my writing, if I can A, heal myself through my writing, but also just help reach one person, if one person's life has been changed due to my being vocal, then I will have made a difference.
Fabulous. I mean, and clearly it's more than one person, right? I mean, usually we say those kind of things and we say, if I could just change one person, but when you are all in and you're vulnerable and you lead well, it's not going to be just one person. It's going to be a lot of people. And clearly this is what's making a difference.
I believe that too, but I also believe in the individualism, and I believe everybody has a unique story to tell, which is why back to our Love Locks. So our Love Locks necklaces, we just started the lovelocks.club. It's www.lovelocks.club. And I'm giving people the opportunity to share their stories. So people can become a member of the Love Locks Club if you've ever been sexually assaulted in any manner. Even if it's just a whistle cat call and it made you uncomfortable, and it was demeaning to you in any way, you have the right to tell your story. That healing and cathartic experience by sharing your story, I think really is empowering. And that's all I want to do, Andrea, is just empower people, and not just women.
It's not yes. only against women. I mean, the reality is we live in a broken and fallen world. And when we choose not to see that, then these things get pushed under the rug and under the table. And so you decided, based on at least Grace talking to you and saying, yes. hey, you've empowered me. And so you decided you then wanted to turn around and empower. But like I said, this cannot be an easy road. Surely there is a principle that has helped you do that. Some kind of daily principle, leadership principle or habit that you apply in your life that you use to kind of keep you going, because surely you hit roadblocks. Surely you hit days that you're like, I just can't hear one more of these stories, or I just can't have one more memory come up. So what is something that you use that kind of helps keep you going?
My Papa Finn. I carry my Papa Finn's fortitude and strength. If there is one person on this planet who has shaped me the most, it was definitely my Papa Finn. He's the only person on the planet who has ever provided me with unconditional love.
Is this your grandfather? Is this your grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my mother's father. How it skipped everyone in her generation. I don't know. But certainly my granddaddy Gail, my Papa Finn, was my beacon of light and my beacon of hope. And then in terms of like habits and what I do on a daily basis, normally when I'm on a teaching contract, because I'm a teacher by profession and training, and that's what pays my bills. I am up every day at 4 a.m. and I teach until about 9. And that provides me with my, you know, let's attack the day. Yay. And I love the kids. They're so adorable. They're ages 3 through 12. And it can be difficult trying to teach a foreign language to a 3-year-old who can barely sit still in front of a computer. But it's quite entertaining also. But I meditate, and I started meditating back when I was 19 years old in 1994 as a second year at UVA. It was not very common back then. I remember picking up an article and just implementing it into my life. So I try to meditate. I helped a girlfriend of mine with just getting her yoga practice more professional and making it more of a business. So yoga is very important to me too. When I don't have a full morning, I try to indulge in Miss Monica's yoga. So keeping a balance, I think, is also very important. And a balance between personal and professional.
Okay, so what's your secret for keeping a balance between personal and professional? Because that gets tossed out there all the time, but we want to know how.
it's honestly, I try to say that, but it's really not. It's really almost always professional. And to some degree, because I utilize my passions as my businesses. So my company is managing projects, but then I've got Thoughtful Tutor, Special Sitter Service, Love Locks Club, Kids Climate Club is brand new, and that's going to be a program of the Managing Love nonprofit that we have. So underneath Managing Love, underneath that nonprofit, we've got International Villas, which is my Harvard capstone. What I'm doing the first net positive off-grid small home community in the United States. And I want to be the first female commissioned by the Department of Energy to build the first net positive off-grid small home community. There have only been 4 men who have received the designation from the Department of Energy to have been commissioned to have built net zero homes, but nobody's done a net positive, and there's never been a woman. So that is my Harvard capstone. When I get there.
So hang on, let's go back. So you actually mentioned a while back homelessness to Harvard, or homeless to Harvard. So really quick, tell us what program you're in at Harvard, because this is on top of however many, and we'll put a link to your page so people can go see your curriculum vitae that shows you have what, how many degrees?
I only have 2 degrees so far, and I only have 1 other degree. Once I finish the program, it's a master's in sustainability, concentrating in creating sustainable cities and communities. And I may end up doing future certificates, but I will never take another stats class in my entire life. And Harvard is kicking my butt, my booty. Harvard is kicking my booty. In graduate school, I was admitted as 1 of 3 individuals in the Master's International Program in conjunction with the Peace Corps. And there were 3 of us admitted, but then our advisor retired early. So they didn't know what to do with us students because we didn't have a program. And the other 2 students were much younger. They were in their early 20s, just graduated undergrad and decided to do the Peace Corps. But I would have graduated at the age of 40 with over, you know, a 6-figure student loan debt. And it just didn't make sense with a Peace Corps certificate at the age of 40 to carry that much debt. So I decided to stay in academia, and they let me take courses in Darden, architecture, engineering, environmental sciences, and they let me take courses across the board. My master's in sustainable at Harvard is really difficult. I'm taking it a course at a time, and I still find it so demanding on my time. I never would have guessed that it would have been this hard. But it's Harvard, and I call it Harvard.
Well, but the good thing too is that the more you learn, the more you'll be able to learn. So you are actually pursuing that, and this is something that you're doing to actually make yourself better. And I see this as, is this like an answer to homelessness? How does this tie in with the homelessness?
So what I want to do, and I've given so much thought to it, I'm actually going to approach our city manager and in Charlottesville and see if we can get it started sooner than my capstone, and working on, because they're building that huge government complex, and see if there's any way to tie in some sort of homeless community for veterans. And not doing it off-grid, because that's not allowed in Albemarle County, but having it be tied to the grid, both water and sewer and electrical, but then hopefully sell back electricity to the municipality. That's what I, in my dream world, and when we have it is international.villas established in Greene County or in Madison County, that's Madison is also an option too, we'll be donating back electricity to the local school system.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's my ultimate dream. That's a 10-year, 15-year plan, like the big lifelong dream. But essentially, the Homeless to Harvard, what I want International Villas to be and what I've presented in all my coursework is that it is a community for those who are currently homeless, with a certain percentage going to homeless vets, a certain percentage going to foster kids who have aged out of the system. I want to be a foster mom. I physically cannot have children because of the childhood abuse. So in my 50s, I want to have 50 foster kids. And then in my 60s, I want to have 60. That's my lifelong goal too. I'm not there yet. I can barely take care of myself as it is right now. I have so many projects going on that I would be fair to another.
Well, this is another piece. I mean, for me to be a foster parent, there's other people that are involved because I am not a single lady. But I don't know if you know this. My son is adopted because I physically can't have children. So this is another. This is another touch point for us. We have plenty more conversations to have. So I personally, I don't donate to a lot of charities, but I donate to Together We Rise because I definitely want to make sure that the foster kids have what they need because we forget about that. So I'm excited to talk to you about your fostering stuff as you move forward.
Well, and that's one thing that I want to do this year because now that we have all these clothes, so we commissioned a dozen SIV Afghani refugee women to upcycle 962 pieces of ready-to-wear apparel art. So they added like little lace trims and embroideries and whatnot on each piece of apparel. And I want to get, is it Casa Piedmont, also the local organization in Charlottesville? I've reached out to them so that we can clothe and give each of their children a shopping spree. To make it fun and exciting and just special for them and unique for them.
That's awesome. And so as we kind of wrap this up a little bit, we've said this, that the story that you have is real and it's traumatic and it's caused you to want to go into working with other people and helping empower victims and helping empower women and children so that even just to protect them from being victims. If someone wanted to get into this kind of work, I like to talk about what are the things that we look for that would cause us to say yes to this kind of work. So what would be some maybe green flags that, you know, you can easily say to somebody, okay, well, if you think this, this, and this, then no, stay out. But if you think these things, or you have these kinds of passions or these kinds of things that are evident in your life, definitely move forward in this area. What would people look for if they were interested in getting into either homeless work or sex trafficking prevention or something like that?
The number one criteria is being passionate about it, having that passion to wanting to help people. Being non-judgmental, I think, is another big key component. You can't judge this. I like to call them survivors. I don't like the word victim because it victimizes individuals and doesn't empower them, the term itself. Whereas survivors leading to thriving or thrivers, it's important for people to just recognize that everybody's path is different in life. And it's our own unique path that we walk and that we share with others that connects us all. And I think it's imperative for individuals to recognize that just because I may have been raised and, you know, in a unique environment, for lack of a better term, and that I may have experienced things that you didn't experience doesn't make us any different. And finding that common thread amongst one another, I think, is essential to the work.
It is. And that's part of my desire and my message is to find that common thread for people, is to be able to put, like I said, I got somebody I want you to be in touch with. But it's not just connecting people, it's connecting our our compassion and our empathy and our understanding of things to be able to say, yep, we all are living on this planet. We all have been through stuff. And, you know, whatever, I love the way you said that. Our backgrounds, girl, we're very different. You know, I mean, we joked, I'm a missionary kid, right? I mean, it's like very different backgrounds, but being able to say, even before we started recording, there's plenty of things that we already connect on. And we were connecting on through a local businesswoman's group and all kinds of things. So I appreciate that. And to be able to look for those things. If there was some advice that you were going to give to somebody who said, I meet all those criteria, I am passionate about this, and I am not judgmental, and I appreciate you bringing up the word survivor rather than victim. I apologize to anybody that didn't have said that word, or if that bothered someone when I said it, because I don't know who all is listening to this podcast, but I personally love the word thrivers. I mean, because that's what you're looking to do, is empower them to thrive, because you clearly are doing that. But if somebody says, I'm there, I've got all those things, what is your advice to have them kind of get started to lead in these ways?
Follow your heart. Absolutely follow your heart. Because if you don't follow your heart, you're not following your true self and your true essence. What is the one thing that makes you most passionate? You know, it's life is too short. And luckily I've seen some horrific things. I mean, obviously it's been horrifying on some level, but on some degree, it's lucky in that because I've seen such extremes and have lived an extreme life in a lot of during certain periods of time in my life. Having that balance now and finding people and surrounding yourself with people that keep you grounded and with people that keep you real and authentic.
I love that advice. Who we surround ourselves with is, I mean, it's, I'm sorry, I should know this, and I'll put it in the show notes, but it's a specific quote and I've forgotten the gentleman's name, but it's, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. And, I should know that, but I didn't think about needing to quote it, and I didn't look it up, and that's what I do. I just remember stuff. I don't know where I got it. That's a really, really good piece of advice, because who we surround ourselves with matters, right? It really matters.
Absolutely. And finding your creative outlet, I think, is so important. I always, whenever I visit my father in Roanoke, I always, always go to the Taubman Museum. It's my favorite small museum in the world. I actually had a small sculpture there one time. I know, random. And also my writing. So Dearest Family is a trilogy that I've been working on. I've started 13 screenplays and I haven't finished one of them. But Dearest Family is also going to be my life's labor of love.
So really quick though, the advice you're giving is amazing. And you know what? I'm going to actually take the concept that you put out there of all of your writing. I'm going to put that up in our show notes. I'm going to put that up under your habits of the way you find balance, because I hear that as a thing that you do on a regular basis. This actually has helped you process things. And a lot of people don't hear that, right? I journal every morning and every evening, and that has helped me process things. And it sounds like you do it in a little less formal way, or a little bit, well, you do it in a different way, but you write your things out. And for you, telling your family story is definitely something that you use to actually get you through. Before we close, and we can have you back and we can talk about specific topics, we can talk about your films, we can talk about other things, but for sure about empowering women in different ways. So we're going to put if we can find all of the things, we're going to put all of these links in the show notes, and your UN talk and your screenplay, I mean your film, excuse me. And but we know where people can find you. Do you want people, are you followable on Facebook and Instagram, or?
Yes.
I know you're on LinkedIn.
Yes. Facebook is Gwen Cassady, GwenCassady. And then Instagram is Eco Chic Boutique, which is something I really hope all of your listeners will want to participate in. For anyone coming from your show, Andrea, I will give them a $20 beta testing gift card. So they can do a beta test of seeing, like, they basically provide us with feedback as to how their experience could be better. But they get a $20 free gift card. They will be provided the opportunity to come in for a true eco-chic personalized experience. $20 gets them at least one item, a pair of jeans, a skirt, a shirt, a sweater, a pair of earrings, a necklace, all sterling silver. So they'll at least get one gift. I really just need to know what we can improve, how to make people's experiences better. But we have a little tiny location over in Woolen Mills, which is 1 mile east of the downtown mall, where the new Salvage Wool Factory, they have the mini Google campus is what they're, or the mini, you know, tech campus of the East Coast is what they're calling it.
So I will actually put a link to that, and you and I can talk about if there's a way that people can participate in this at all if they're not local. Is this only local?
No, we can also do shopping, online shopping experiences.
So we'll you and I will talk offline. We'll figure out how to put this in the show notes and make sure people understand it. So before we stop our conversation here today, we always ask people, what is the one thing that you can stay optimistic about, even when everybody else thinks you're crazy? And I've gotten some really interesting ones. So, but you are a very optimistic person. I hear that in you. You have a lot of hope. What is one thing that you can always be optimistic about?
I can be optimistic that our films will reach the right number of people that they're supposed to reach, and that the people that need to view our film and view our films on homelessness, on child trafficking, on our healthcare crisis called No Care Health, spelled H-E-L-T-H care, and that we will have an impact. You know, again, I go back to just one life. If I can make an impact on another grace, you know, on another person that just truly touched me, then I will have done my work.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's just understanding how providence works, understanding how the work that you put out there really does make a difference. And the more we share these kinds of things, the more people they will reach. So I love that you're optimistic about who these films will actually reach. Gwen, this has been a wonderful conversation. This has been enlightening. This has been, there are some things in it that have been hard and sorrowful, but I love the fact that I can see your face and you have not stopped smiling. Even And your laugh is contagious. So thank you so much for the courage that you have demonstrated sharing your story. And we will definitely be in touch in the future for more conversations.
Thank you, Andrea. I really appreciate you. And appreciate your time and all the people that you're bringing on board too.
Thank you. I'm excited. This is going to be fun. What'd I tell you? So much. Now, when you go to her website, you'll see what I mean. Gwen is unafraid to start a new initiative when she sees a need and realizes nobody else is meeting it. She's truly one of those multi-passionate entrepreneurs, but it's really more of a multi-passionate nonprofitpreneur. Every single initiative she undertakes, though, has a mission based on a person or people group behind it. The EcoChic Boutique allows refugee women to earn a living, share their skills, and provide a home for their families. With the International Villas Project, she's striving to be the first female designer and builder for a HUD-recognized net-positive off-grid community. Like I said, nothing is done without a purpose. So how does Gwen embody the tenets of intentional optimism? Well, first, she's very optimistic. Y'all, she shared some really intense things with me, yet her smile, even if it wavered for a moment, always returned. She's hopeful, positive, and proactive. She set up a program to help women provide for their futures. Gwen is present. Her encounter with a young woman named Grace is the perfect example of her generosity with her experience, time, and presence. She's open with her emotions and offers the refugees and homeless people she works with a non-judgmental relationship in which to thrive. Gwen is certainly courageous. Her vision of what could be and what should be fuel her servant leadership. She is completely undaunted in the face of both present and past hardship, choosing resilience in order to make a difference in the lives of others. Gwen's energy? Whoa. She rises before the sun, and her creative energy and industry is evident in all of her endeavors. She empowers others to care for and provide for themselves and their families, and literally exudes joy in the journey. Now, her wisdom comes from experience. She truly understands the reality of how harsh life can be, but has chosen to have that understanding fuel her ability to meet people where they are, to care for them, and role model how to move forward and thrive. And Gwen is most certainly intentional. Her why is every single face she looks into each day in her work. She is others-focused and future-facing. Her Harvard studies and plans for the International Villas to be a source of energy for local schools is all evidence of her desire to continually grow and encourage others to do the same. Now, of course, Gwen is unconventional in her leadership. I mean, how many women speak to the UN on the topic of international homelessness? However, her passion to provide stability in the lives of refugees and homeless individuals stems from her core values, which includes seeking justice for and empowering those who seem to have no voice. She's a role model, creating opportunities to give back to her community while still providing skills, economic and domestic stability and dignity to so many others. Gwen's dedication to growth includes rising at 4 a.m. each day, working to pay the bills so that she has more time later in the day for pursuing her education and empowering others. Remember, unconventional leaders lead at every level in any area using their unique gifts. And Gwen embodies that idea. So, do you have a passion to make a difference like Gwen? Maybe you're a Grace who needed to hear that someone else has been through the same thing and has more than just survived, they've thrived. Do you have a heart for the homeless or the disenfranchised but just don't know where to start? Gwen offered some advice to let you know if you're ready. First, be passionate. It can be hard work, but if you're passionate about it, move ahead. Be non-judgmental. Of pretty much everything. I mean, you never know anyone's story until they've shared it. Perhaps your grace is right in front of you. Third, follow your heart, that knowing that's in your core, or perhaps feeling led to do something. Next, surround yourself with authentic people. Now, I second that for anything, but especially if you want to do her kind of work. You're going to need others who wholeheartedly support you, not just think it's a nice thing you're trying to do. And five, find your creative outlet. Gwen acknowledges the need for stress relief, and she accomplishes that with her writing and with yoga. Now, perhaps getting involved with Gwen and one of her initiatives is a good place for you to start. First, you could go shopping. The Eco Chic Boutique is open for business, both online and in Charlottesville, Virginia. In fashion, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but quality should never be a compromise. No matter what you're looking for, they guarantee durability and beauty, and they're committed to providing you styles that have quality built in and will last through the wear and tear of your day. Additionally, selecting the highest of quality and fair trade sourcing, their carefully cultivated and curated brands provide a new business approach to providing support for sustainable programs and services. So, you can shop to feel good and look good. Since the Eco Chic Boutique is still fairly new, Gwen is looking for people to help them perfect their customer experience. So if you shop online or in their store, be sure to share the coupon code OPTIMIST, that's OPTIMIST, to receive a $20 gift card just for helping them with some feedback. Perhaps you're more interested in doing something, however. Why don't you start with her projects website, managingprojects.org. This will give you an overview of all the ways you can contribute, volunteer, or even participate in art and fashion shows. Now, if you're passionate about what they're doing, let them know. They're always looking for volunteers and independent contractors in a variety of capacities to help make their vision a reality. They'll help you find a way to share your valuable time and resources, I promise. Now, whether you're a mission-driven leader or want to step into a greater vision of another organization, the principles of intentional optimism and unconventional leadership are just yours to develop and own. Don't let fear, circumstances, or past experiences hold you back. There's a place for you. I guarantee it. I know Gwen would be excited to hear from you or have you join her team. The best places to find Gwen are on her website, managingprojects.org, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and we've listed each of them in the show notes. If you're ready to begin your own personal growth journey, but not quite certain where to start, let's get you a DISC assessment. We'll help you tap into your greatest motivations, dramatically improve your relationships, and accelerate your results. Head on over to theintentionaloptimist.com/DISC or click the link in the show notes just to get started. And don't forget, as a special gift to my podcast listeners, you get 10% off when you enter the code podcast at checkout. Of course, we still have this special Ultimate DISC Communication Cheat Sheet. It's my free gift for you at theintentionaloptimist.com/cheat. Now, this packet will provide you with insight into how to leverage your best strengths and maximize your connection with others. I've even included tips on how to recognize the DISC types of your kids and how to connect with them based on their type. Are you driven to lead and know where you want to go but can't quite figure out all the steps? I can bring clarity, help you see the big picture, and keep you grounded, all while you step into exactly who you are meant to be. Head on over to my website and check out my own story and contact me to set up a time to talk about how one-on-one coaching could be the answer for you. If you like what you heard today, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll catch every new episode as it releases, and you won't miss any amazing, unconventional leaders just like Gwen Cassidy. Until next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. If you're an intentional optimist and you love this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review with a 5-star rating. You can also snap a screenshot right where you're listening, share it to social media, and tag me. This helps others find us, and we'll have an even bigger impact. If you're curious what it would be like to work more closely with me, or just to step up as an unconventional leader yourself, I invite you to schedule a free discovery session to talk with me and learn more. Just email me at andrea@theintentionaloptimist.com. If you're looking for an encouraging and uplifting community on Facebook, hop on over and join the Intentional Optimist group, women encouraging women from all over the globe. The community and email links are right here in the show description wherever you listen to the podcast. Until next time, remember, you're the answer. You are the future of leadership and the role models for future generations.